All right, it's time now to look through the window of baseball. We love doing this. With Bruce Jenkins, brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truitt and White, the professional builder's choice with their new showroom down in Monterey. Bruce, how are you on this Saturday?
Hey, Bruce.
Very well, guys. What's happening?
Well, it's a little breezy out here today. As you know, you know the weather. You know, you're a surfer. You got 3 or 4 days of hot weather, then goodbye. The fog comes back in.
Yeah, not a good surf day, but it's always a nice day for ball at the ballpark. That's the way I always look at it.
You know, this Junior Giants glove drive is tomorrow. Now, I don't know if you and I ever talked about it. Your first baseball glove, do you remember that?
I sure do. It was a Wally Moon.
Okay.
Nice.
I grew up in L.A., and Wally Moon, you know, threw right-handed, so it worked for me. And in Little League, I was a left fielder, and I wore it at number 9, not because I was trying to be Wally Moon, but after a while, I started thinking, you know, hey, I started hitting left-handed to try and loft, you know, long fly balls to left. I used to hit moonshots over the netting at the Coliseum. It was like 250 feet down the line. But, yeah, Wally Moon, that was the first glove I had, and I think I lost it. We had a big house fire. Our house burned down. It's long gone. But I would also want to mention that Junior Giants thing. I did a piece on baseball gloves last spring, and I talked to Kruko and Kuiper, and they were great, and Kuiper was really into it. And, you know, they get all these gloves that people turn in, and he dug into the pile and came up with this old, it looked like maybe from 1940. It only had like a thumb and like 3 thick fingers. And he gave it to me.
Wow.
And when I watch a ball game at home, I got I put a Rawlings baseball and I'm pounding it in there watching the game. It's like my Kruko, you know? Yeah, well, it's an awesome thing.
Well, be careful doing that, Bruce. You may have to go get Tommy John surgery. You got to watch that arm, right?
Yeah, I think I tore a labrum last night, actually.
Yeah, you probably pound that glove. You look like Archie Vaughn, probably.
Yeah, exactly. It lets your mind wander, I'll tell you.
Really? All right. Hey, Pat brought something up, and I think it's a great question for you. And the articles all week long about all the Tommy John injuries that are coming up. Jose Fernandez is gone. Perez from Texas is gone. Yeah. Pat said Cashner's going on the DL 15 days. Bruce, any rhyme or reason for this? It's been a talk of the ballpark a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's frightening and disturbing and kind of inexplicable. I think one reason there is more Tommy John surgeries than there were 20 years ago is because it's just such a handy option. I mean, it's just so available. You know, it used to be like, oh, my God, I'm out for 2 years or I'll never pitch again. And that's one reason. But obviously they're being done for a reason. And, one thing I always go back to is the intensity of youth baseball. John Smoltz had a great quote a couple months ago saying, any major league pitcher can go out there and throw 200 casual fastballs, you know, without a whole lot of stress. You can throw 200 pitches in a second every 4 days. But it's the stress pitches that get you, you know, the cutter, the two-seamer, you know, the hard change, the forkball, whatever you're trying to mix it up with. And you've got kids now who aren't just playing during baseball season. They're playing year-round. They're under a ton of pressure. They're trying to learn all these pitches. They're throwing as hard as they possibly can, and they're throwing all these pitches and putting premature stress on the arm. I think if an arm is well taken care of and nurtured through your youth, I think you're much better off, you know, moving into a professional career where they're monitoring you and your pitch, you know, on a strict routine. But I really think that has a lot to do with it.
Did you see the high school kid who threw 190 pitches the other day? Did you see
that?
That
was only through the third inning.
Up in Washington, state of Washington.
Wow.
Yeah, unbelievable. But, I mean, I remember, you know, playing sandlot ball where we'd pitch. We were throwing hard. It was hard ball. We probably threw 250. I mean, but it's all a matter of the stress.
I agree with you, Pat, and let me just say this, and Pat will jump
in. Sure, go ahead.
But in talking about it, the ballpark and some of, you know, the intelligent people that we walk around with here said exactly that. It said a kid today not only throws a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, he's throwing sliders, cutters, all sorts of other pitches that you didn't throw before. Mm. Now, they brought up Marichal. Marichal threw 12 pitches. It was the same pitch from 12 different angles. And that was the difference. So, you know, just a short list, Jose Fernandez, Chris Medlin, A.J. Griffin, Patrick Corbin, and many, many more.
Brandon Beachy, all these guys. Meanwhile, Bruce and Marty, the guy throwing for the Giants tonight, he's never been on the DL, and he doesn't even ice. Right, Tim Lincecum?
I love that. I mean, the Giants' track record in general is very, very good. But you know, Lincecum, he's the freak, you know.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic athlete. He's always had his own way of doing things. To him, none of this is stressful. You know, it's what he was born to do, I love the fact that he does a nice. Who says that's what you have to do after a game is put a bunch of ice and kind of freeze up everything in there? So it's not popular, but it sure has worked for him. And I think most experts probably figured he'd be out of ball by this stage in his career.
Boy, now the Marlins are in town, and someone texted me today and said, you know, there's some teams that even good teams have trouble with. You know, in a park. And the Marlins were 10 of 11 here before this series. Now, I guess it's 11 of 13. And, you know, you look at them, Bruce, on base percentage, second in the league, walks first, strikeouts first. And who's the hitting coach? Frank Menachino. How do you like that?
Yeah, that legendary hitter of the days of yore. Yeah, I'm never surprised when anybody loses to the Marlins. I try to catch them on TV whenever I can. I mean, Christian Yelich, what a real good young hitter, you know. I mean, Stanton, that speaks for himself. Jose Fernandez, unbelievable, so bad that he went down. Eovaldi just throwing smoke. I mean, I think Patrick said earlier, they managed to right themselves from these complete disasters. Like 2 years later, they're all stocked again. And they draft really, really well, and they put guys in the field that you really want to watch.
Yeah, they're good. Orin Freeman, Bruce, you run into him in the press box, and Dan Jennings. They know what they're doing. And I love the story. It's a great story. How about this? Pat brought this up today. One of our people out here at the Public House told us. Tony La Russa.
Yeah.
Baseball operations, baseball officer, whatever they want to call him. He is now running the Arizona Diamondbacks. How do you like that?
Wow.
God, between him and Kirk Gibson, can he get any more intense? I mean, that's a team that should loosen up a little bit, you know. But,
I would say Kirk is probably seen his last days.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I mean, okay. I guess it inches Tony a little closer to the dugout, which is where he belongs. And I'm sure Kevin Towers is thrilled by this. He's still with the organization. He said 2 weeks ago, I'm not sure how long I'll be around, and they didn't fire him, but meanwhile they got La Russa calling the shots. Now it's been very, very strange. I'd want La Russa in my organization and whatever he wanted to do, but it's a bizarre move for the, you know, it speaks of real desperation for a floundering team.
Tony Clark today had a column in ESPN, not a column, but a story about him. You know, he's head of the Players Association. There were a lot of interesting things this week, Bruce, about the collision rule, about when you're actually fielding the ball. Mike Socha had a great, great interview today, not today, but a few days ago, about when are you fielding the ball? When the shortstop gets it and starts to throw to the catcher, when the runner's 6 feet away? And I said they ought to get rid of the rule for this year. Get rid of it. And Tony Clark says, well, you can't do stuff like that in the middle of the season. But you saw Posey the other night. You've seen the comments about this rule. What do you think? Where are we going with this during the season here? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, they're not going to change it too radically during the season, I don't think. If it's a standard play and the catcher is on the plate, he doesn't have to move into the runner's path. You know, what you see a lot of catchers doing is you set your left foot right inside the home plate and right inside the baseline. So you're giving the guy a lane. You're in perfect position to make a tag, and everything's great. Runners are not looking to bowl people over now. They're looking to slide, so you don't have to worry about that. But where it gets tricky is if the throw takes you into the path of the runner, because the new rule says you can still block the plate if you have the ball. And if you're just now getting it, like it's just like a split second before the runner gets there, what do you do? I mean, Posey had to do a little tap dance in Pittsburgh, right, and he wound up missing the guy.
Yeah.
And of course, the next time around when he missed Hayward, that was completely on Posey. I mean, you got to make that tag. But I think the fact that you can still block the plate complicates things, and you're seeing an awful lot of guys cheating. Even if they're not going to have to get into the runner's path, they're still putting that foot over the plate before the ball gets there, and that's no longer legal.
That's right.
And even you'll see plays that are reviewed, you'll see a guy make a tag that's upheld with that method. Meanwhile, that's not in the spirit of the rule. So it's complete confusion. Yeah. I've seen, you know, the replays come up wrong, and the only good thing about it is you don't see too many guys leaving on stretchers.
Yeah, no, that's the purpose of the rule, is to avoid it. But you're right. There's a lot of gamesmanship now that goes on in baseball. And Socha is at the head of the class because he knows, you know, he's a great catcher.
Yep.
You almost have to scout the catchers now. Talk about scouting a pitcher and what kind of stuff he has. Well, what kind of What kind of catcher is this? Is he still looking to have a collision, or is he going to cheat with the leg, or is he all swipe tag so you don't have to worry about him? And you know, right. It's a whole different category.
Well, people are going to come at Buster.
They sure are. Buster's as passive as they come.
Boy, great point. All right, thumb injuries or Tommy John? What shocks you more here? Every week we see another guy going out with a thumb injury. Can't they figure this out?
Yeah, what happened? It used to be guys were called thumbers. You know, the guys that didn't throw very hard. Right, now the guys are on the DL. I have no idea what to make of that. You don't catch the knife on the way to the floor.
I mean, really.
Let it drop.
I mean, Ben Zobrist. You know, these are, you know,
well,
Zimmerman
guys,
and, you know.
Guys sliding head first, you know, are going to run that risk. And, you know, a guy sliding head first into first is completely nuts. And as well as, it's, I think, sliding head first into home is awfully risky, too, unless you just know you've got a clear path there. So that, you know, the head first slide is a great thing in a lot of situations. So you're not going to get rid of it, and you are going to have guys, you know, getting stepped on or jamming their hand against a hard bag or who knows what.
I'll tell you one thing. You know, Bruce, this is a good week to talk baseball at the ballpark. It really was. People were sitting around talking. And someone said to me, take a look at Pete Rose. Watch his head first slides. He started so early that by the time he got to the bag, he didn't jam his hand into the bag.
Yeah.
He took off real early. And the still photos of him are absolutely classic when he's in mid-flight.
Right.
You know, perfect form. And, yeah, that's no accident. I mean, his hands were his life, you know, up at the plate. I mean, he's going to be aggressive, but he's also going to protect his hands. So,
boy, great.
A good smart ball player is hard to replace.
The Chronicle's Bruce Jenkins talking to Marty and myself, Patrick Connor here. Hey, Bruce, I know it's only May 17th, but maybe I'm getting way ahead of myself here. In fact, I know I am. But the Bay Area is combined for 53 wins. Am I smoking something to think we may see a rematch from 25 years ago? I mean, is that something we might possibly see in October?
Yeah, I was driving over the Bay Bridge recently with an A's game on. I was thinking exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's entirely feasible. I mean, the A's, they're just ridiculous. I mean, once again, you know, they're on top of the league. The notion of them winning a division is more than feasible. It seems almost likely, you know.
Yeah.
If they can just get past Verlander, maybe we'll see this.
Boy, isn't that amazing?
But, yeah, I think it's something you can legitimately think about.
Well, I'm telling you, A's Giants or Giants Dodgers, something's happening this October.
Yeah,
I'm telling
doubt.
You. Something's going to happen. I see it coming.
Yeah, there'll be stuff on the coast for sure. Which
yeah, something's happening. Hey, Bruce, as always, terrific. What's on the agenda today for you?
I've been working on some side projects all morning and looking forward to the Giants tonight with a couple beers and what could be better.
Boy, he's got a good life.
With the glove and the Rawlings baseball, right, Bruce?
I'll be pounding that old 1940s glove with the brand new Rawlings.
Pete Reaser at the Jenkins house tonight.
I'm going to run into the refrigerator.
Yeah, it's my man.
All right, thanks, Bruce. Talk
right on,
to you
Bruce.
Tomorrow.
Yeah,
all right, okay.
Good to go. I picture Bruce sitting there. He's got a beer on the coffee table and that old glove and that baseball doing his thing, Marty. Good stuff, huh?